stooped through the blackout curtains that screened the entrance to the mess, and beat the snow from his shoulders with a gloved hand as he straightened. "General, my apologies. If I'd known you were coming, I was making my rounds." Sean Courtney chuckled and rose ponderously from the chair to shake his hand. "Your officers have made me very welcome, Charles, and we've kept a little of the goose for you. I'm terribly sorry to hear about young Van der Heever, sir. Sergeant Major told me what happened." Sean made a gesture of dismissal, but for a moment the shadows darkened about his eyes. "If I'd only known you were coming up into the line this evening, I'd have warned you, sir. We've had the devil of trouble with that sniper ever since we moved up. That's the same fellow, of course. Absolutely deadly." "What are you doing about him?" asked Sean. The adjutant intervened. "I've been on to Colonel Caithness at 3rd Battalion, and we did a deal, sir. He's agreed to send us Anders and MacDonald."
"You got them?"
The colonel looked delighted. "Oh, I say, that's excellent. I didn't think Caithness would part with his prize pair." The young captain spoke quietly with one of the sentries on the forward firing step. "This way, sir." He went on down the boards. Sean towered head and shoulders above him as he followed. Around the next revert, through the soft curtains of falling snow, there was the subdued red glow of a brazier. Dark figures squatted close about it. "Sergeant MacDonald?" One of the figures rose and stepped forward. "Is Anders with you?"
"Present and correct," said MacDonald.
And one of the other figures rose from the circle about the brazier and came forward. At that moment a flare burst high overhead, a brilliant white and silent explosion of light. Sean could judge a man like he could a horse. In the light of the flare, his eyes flickered across the face of the older sergeant. MacDonald had the bony, undernourished features of the slum dweller, the eyes too close set, the lips narrow and twisted down at the corners. There was nothing to interest Sean there. And he looked at the other man. The eyes were a pale golden brown, set wide with the serene gaze of a poet, or a man who had lived in the open country of long-distant horizons. He was nearer 17 than 20, Sean judged, and then saw how finely drawn the boy was. Despite the serenity of his gaze, he was stretched out tight and hard, racked up with strain, close to snapping point. "This is General Courtney," said the captain, and as the light of the flare died, Sean saw the eyes shine suddenly. "Hello, Anders. I've heard a lot about you."
"And I've heard about you, sir."
The legendary Sean Courtney, the man who had made £5 million on the goldfields of the Witwaters Rand and lost every penny of it in a morning at a single coup of fortune. Sean Courtney, who had chased the Boer General Leroux across half of southern Africa and caught him at last, who had helped unite the four independent states of southern Africa into a single mighty whole, who had built another vast personal fortune in land and cattle and timber. "You're from Zululand?" asked Sean. His ear had picked up the accent, and without waiting for a reply, went on in the Zulu tongue. "Valapi Wena, where are you from?" The Zulu tongue came naturally and easily to Mark's lips, though he had not spoken it for 2 years. "From the north, beyond Eshowe, on the Umfolesi River."
"Yes, I know it well. I've hunted there."
Sean changed back to English.
"Anders. I knew another Anders. He rode transport from Delagoa Bay back in 89. Old Johnny Anders. Any relation? Your father?"
"My grandfather. My father's dead. My grandfather has land on the Umfolesi. That's where I live."
Fergus MacDonald cut in like a jealous woman.
"You best be getting ready now, lad."
MacDonald fussed over the lad, and Sean was reminded of a trainer preparing his fighter in the dressing room. Clothing, balaclava, airman's helmet.
"Keep your nut down, Mark, my boy."
4 full clips of cartridges.
"I waxed each round myself," announced Fergus, mainly for the benefit of the listening general. "I won't show Cuthbert until the sun is right."
"Cuthbert?" asked Sean. Fergus chuckled and indicated a third figure that lay quietly at the back of the dugout. It was a dummy, but in the light of the brazier, the features were realistic, and the helmeted head rode at a natural angle.